a fear that Uptown Funk is going to give it to us. And that is why I call for a new heightened level of awareness. So, fellow citizens, I implore you, if you see something, say something. If you don't believe them, just watch. I grabbed a joystick, a fight stick. For the PlayStation 3 here, my only PlayStation 3 stick. Sticks all right for fighting. It's one I got when Super Street Fighter 4 came out. According to the Super Street Fighter 4 logo on the box. And then I have one of the original Street Fighter 4 ones for Xbox 360, somewhere. And then I have an Injustice stick of some kind. And I have a sealed, like, shipping, cardboard box shipping thing, with the Mortal Kombat 9 stick for 360 as well. And then I think I have a loose Mortal Kombat 9 stick somewhere too, which I never used because the game, like, that game didn't need a stick really. And also, the stick that they sent, the one that's out of the case, was all types of fucked up. Like, the stick itself stuck to the left. It was just a no, why is there traffic? No, this isn't, this not, that's not how this is supposed to go at all. Why are all you people on the freeway? I kind of want to get, like, a new joystick. I don't know why. I just, every time when I see Jason taking one apart and throwing his fucking button silencers in there and all that stuff, I'm like, man, I should get, like, a, whatever it is, a RAP4 or whatever, you know. But I don't really know what I would do with it. I don't know. It's like I'm not really playing that many. Fighting games, you know, competitively, so it's sort of. I don't like playing other games with. I'm not one of these guys that, like, you know, hey, let's go play some NES games. Let's play it with an arcade stick. Because that's, you know, like, no, that's no. Hey, let's emulate Donkey Kong and play it with a stick. Like, no, I don't, those D-pads are fine. That's, even the 360 pad, I'll just take, it's fine. It's fine for what I'm doing here. It'd be nice for something like Yatagarasu, which, you know, is a six-button game, and you can only really use the bumpers up top. And... But I don't know that I'm going to play any more of that, so... So yeah, I don't really need one. I never really understood the... I guess I understand, but I never was into the idea of building an arcade cabinet just to run MAME. That's never really... It's never really been that appealing. I mean, there's some games that would be nice to have, like, more kind of native-feeling controls for, certainly. And, you know, when people build their big control panel for MAME stuff, they usually will put a trackball and a spinner in there, and I think that's cool. But, you know, generally speaking... most of the games are fine on a controller, on a gamepad, so... Deep in arcade gaming, see MAME cabinets as a form of racism. That's maybe a little extreme, but yes, like, there's something... impure about, like, I think MAME's amazing. I think, you know, the community-based emulation efforts across the board have just been just fascinating, and that's been 20 years or more now. You know, that's been, like, I remember when all you could play was Game Boy games. Really, that's kind of the only one that was really that playable. Before NES emulators started coming out, even then, the first one of those was fucked. Like shareware, totally fucked up shareware. But like, I don't know. There's a level of like purist shit involved with arcade stuff that, you know, like, I can only abide up to a certain point. And it's like, you know, that, like, so I have my fucking Street Fighter II cabinet at home, and the monitor's fucked, and I'm sure I've talked about this a zillion times by now, because it's just been fucked forever, but the monitor doesn't work, and it's just like, well, fuck, like, getting new monitors, getting new CRTs is actually quite difficult, you know? So, like, I thought about buying an LCD screen that fits, that, you know, like, screws into the same monitor mounting bracket that a CRT would, and, you know, would work, would last, and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, when I mentioned that to people, they were like, fucking, that's not, no, you can't do that. I was like, fucking, come on. I just want to play Street Fighter occasionally. And even then, like, not really, because I shouldn't own a Street Fighter cabinet. I really shouldn't really own any arcade cabinets, probably. Except for the Blitz cabinet, because that's a trophy. I won that. I won that in a tournament. I won that in grand fashion. But yeah, someone who takes a MAME cabinet and paints a bunch of Halo stuff on it, like you're saying, that's silly. But, like, think about it from, like, probably what their perspective is, like, you know, like, it's probably people that don't really, you know, all of gaming is the same to some people because they're, you know, being exposed to it at similar times. Like, imagine people that never, that don't have that type of original arcade experience. And are only seeing these games because emulation exists and because MAME exists. To them, it's all the same. I think that's actually kind of cool, like, in a way. Like, yeah, I don't think putting, I mean, I think it's lame and that, like, you know, putting Halo insignias on a fucking arcade cabinet is just dumb. But, you know, like, there's something to be said for just, like, here's an even playing field. These games are like these games. They are all games, you know? And who cares? Like, let's just play them, you know? Like, you can be reverential up to a point, but I think at some level it's just like, look, let's just fucking, let's play some Van Car or fucking Jump Coaster. Whatever other fucking weird bullshit is, you know, it's in the deep, dark corners of the MAME catalog. Alright, let's get out from behind this fucking Nissan Rogue that is doing 50. Oh, to be fair, that Nissan Rogue is trapped behind this Dodge pickup truck that has, like, a big cross in the, like, the Triple H fucking cross. I don't know what type of cross that is. I forget what that's called. But that kind of thick, flourishy plus sign, you know? Yes, Iron Cross. That's right. That's the right term for that, right? I don't know. The type of thing a biker might have. Probably not the Iron Cross. Maybe not. Thank you. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for, like, hey, I'm at the PC doing some stuff. Hey, I'm gonna load this game up and play it real quick, you know? Just, like, this weird... I'm gonna play a game of Q-Bert. All right, now I'm gonna get back to doing whatever the fuck else I was doing. Dumped my flashback prototype for the Genesis, and it the checksum seemed to line up with, like, the known existing dumps of flashback for the Genesis. I was kind of surprised that that's seemingly just a final copy of the game. I need to double check that, I guess, but
a word in the streets, and you know we don't sleep. Turn up, turn up. Every day of the week. Switches, 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 switches. Hold up, you've been told, but baby girl, you gifted. Can you do the ooh-wop? Let me see the ooh-wop. South side ooh-wop.
We'll be right back.
racing a fucking soapbox derby car next to me. Some kind of fucking two wheels up front, one in the back, fucking low to the ground piece of fucking metal with a roll cage on it. Like, when I'm alongside him, I can't even fucking see him. I'm surprised that that thing is fucking street legal. It looks like a little dune buggy almost, but, you know, three wheel. Looks like some kind of fucked up planet side vehicle. Fucking spin his cert points to get the fucked up dune buggy looking thing. Picture of that thing and I put it on Instagram. That's what I did. I mean, it's got a fucking roll cage on it, but I gotta say, you know, if fucking that thing got in a fucking wreck on the freeway, like we're doing like 75 right now, I can't imagine that that dude would fucking live. Like, no helmet. Like, that thing just looks like it would fucking crumple. Like, if this fucking Mercedes in front of him slammed on his brakes, and he hit into it, and then I hit into him, that dude would be fucking done. Like something someone welded together in their fucking garage. Like, don't get me wrong, I think it's fucking rad, but he's like kind of tailgating people, and I don't know. He's tailgating people and he's doing 80. Sirius XM's electric area. DJ, I would try to fucking produce shows that were just fucking DDR songs being somewhat remixed. I would just play fucking 20 different remixes of Boom Boom Dollar and then be like, thank you, good night. You know, updated vibes, you know, like fucking really remix that shit. Filthy, nasty, fucking trap remixes of fucking like El Ritmo Tropical or whatever the fuck it was called. Butterfly. Yeah. Totally. We'll be right back.
sounded this long.
Yeah, disrupt the frequency, smash the state.
This time I promise. Commit to it. Turn it up. Get in the middle of it. In the middle of it.
Chill, I ain't got none either. Keep a flow right off the heater. Woo! To my team, I'm Derek Jeter. I got hits, I'm in the field. With a halo on my deal, I sign a hope. I'm like Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. You more power to you. I'm a test drive, that X drive. Where they just got baptized. I'm a franchise, you a fraction. The broke, can't pay attention. I got drives, you trying to screw drive. Guess I gotta do a drill. Hey, we've been up since Friday, getting drunk and popping still. Magic stick all on that ass. You a fan, don't it blow you, that bitch is hot as hell. I'm with Skrillex and we chillin', but we still ain't got no chill. He say, what's up? Oh, no, not these fucks. Oh, yeah, we was up. Got the new beam on razor blades. Steph and Curry on CP3. You fuck on make a play. Well, us, they make it great. Talk a lot of but they don't say enough. Problems as deep as my pockets is. My Uzi way a ton. I'm a high park hooligan. You goofy, that's just where I'm from. Chop it like the Karate Kid. Not Will and Jada, son. I got save money there with me now. So go on and get yourself. Left my pants on and I'm fighting with my older sister's friends. Number try to climb me when I told them they would probably say me is talking ish. Look at this, she get the bounty call.
Traffic on the far side of the tunnel today. This is all right. Well, we're going in.
World record every time we're on here, we got one. The world record, for good reason. Hey, you talk about artists that have galvanized their audience with emotion and brilliant music and arrangement and put it on the dance floor. Such a rare combination. Jam and Lewis have done it throughout an entire career as record producers.
Of course, we're talking about
and
Fred Durst.
The next artist who returns with a brand new project continues to do it. Robin, it's so nice to finally meet you. Welcome to Beats One here in Los Angeles, and thank you for bringing us music. We're so excited to share it.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for playing it.
Deciding to do this and to not release your own album at this point, what was the motivation behind, you know, working in a collaborative state again?
I started working with different people after I came off of the Body Talk tour, which was in 2012. And Christian Falk was the first person I called, and we were just hanging out. We've done that over the years in periods when we've made music, but also as friends. He had one of the most amazing record collections I know, and he was just a very inspiring person that I worked with since I was 15 years old. But I also called Adam from Kindness, and we've been making music together, and I've also did the record with Workshop. So all these things were attempts to kind of get out of my comfort zone a little bit, or maybe, and take off some focus for myself and just be less self-aware.
Have you felt like a reluctant pop star throughout your career? Is it something that just came from the attention after the Body Talk trilogy and the touring that came from the success of that?
I don't know what my next album is going to be, but I just felt that I really wanted to take the time out to kind of dig deeper.
Try new sounds, try new things, see where it's going.
Yeah.
And it's working. The Workshop project was brilliant. People loved it, responded to it. The music that we've heard so far and what we're going to play today from this new project as well, which I'm going to... Here we go. You ready for this? Robin and La Bagatelle Magique.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Wow, perfect.
41 years old and finally getting his head around foreign languages. It's embarrassing. The music that we're about to play from this, certainly this next track we're going to play, has a very distinct kind of uplifting four on the floor, kind of modern disco feel to it.
Yeah, I would say it's euphoric. We started it out in a... It didn't sound electronic at all. And then Marcus, who is also in La Bagatelle Magique, started playing this arpeggio synthesizer, and Christian heard that and kind of flipped out and wanted to turn it into something ravey. And I think it was very typical for the how we made the record. We kind of remixed each other, like we would record something and then Christian would chop it up and turn it into something different. That's how the chorus in Set Me Free was made, for example. But it was constant chaos.
You got
don't know. That's some stuff by Robin that I really like, but that's really...
That is a monstrous record right there.
I don't know.
Is a huge, big room banger, but with all the emotion we've come to expect from Robin, who never, ever walks the line straight. She always takes you round and round, and through all the emotions she's going through, I love that record. La Bagatelle Magique and Robin, Set Me Free. It sounds like it's incredibly fun, especially in an environment where you're working with machines and you're working with synthesizers. It's so easy to get caught in the grid.
Yeah.
You know, when people look at their computers now and they're like, it's the grid. What's going on in the grid? What happens at this part of the grid?
It's true.
And when you can actually take all those parts out of the grid and throw them in the air and see what fits.
Yeah, it's true. I think Christian used a lot of his records. I mean, he was a bass player and he was also a really, really good producer. And the way he made beats was quite special. But I think one of his, like, biggest things was still his vinyl. How he listened to records and how he found things that he wanted to sample and how he used that energy of his record collection to always, like, keep him moving. Very inspiring to be around.
Obviously, you know, really sad that he's passed away subsequently, and but great that his work can be heard on this record. And
and
was he able to see it through to its completion?
No, he died before the record was finished, but all the songs were more or less made. And he heard everything, you know, we knew where we were going to take it, and he was really excited for it to be released. For me and Marcus, it was really important that it isn't looked upon as a memorial record of his life, that because it was really music that we made together, he was very much in love with his life when we made it, you know, and I think you can hear that. Yeah, it always sucks when people die, and especially of cancer, but I think
heavy.
The feeling we had in the studio was just positive, like it was just fun.
Robin here at Beats One LA, Set Me Free is the world record. You know, one of the things that I think sets you apart as someone who's worked in electronic music and who's also made dance floor bangers is that, you know, you are unafraid to focus on the lyric and unafraid to take the lyric into a place of real depth and real thought. I think a lot of times people can focus on words in dance music and it's just like, okay, let's take the word mountain, let's take the word climb, let's put love in there, let's say climb the mountain for your love, let's loop it 50 times, put it over a house loop and we're good to go. Now, I've danced to many records like that and I love them.
Yeah.
But you're different. You know, you really put a lot of soul into your words.
Thank you.
You know, what is unique to yourself, do you think, as a writer? Where does it come from?
You know, sometimes it's really, I don't really know what it is I'm writing about. Yeah, maybe it's disappointing, but yeah.
No, that's the magic. The subconscious is what gives you the stuff that's inside you don't know is there.
I believe so as well. I think the unconsciousness is really interesting, and a lot of times when I write stuff,
unconsciousness is really interesting.
Weird. It's like a tool of, like, maybe understanding yourself a little bit better, but it doesn't solve any problems, or, you know, I don't look at songs as truths. I just look at them as, like, some kind of way of capturing an emotion you've had in your life. And if you're lucky, they come out in this way where they don't feel pretentious and they don't feel like they're telling you what to feel, which is when I think that they work for other people as well. That's when things, you know, can have more meanings than just what you felt, which is, I think, what makes you feel really good when you're dancing to it or when you're whatever, and then it can be climb and whatever.
So I have this absolute passion for sad songs you can dance to. You've created one of those songs, which is, or many of them, but one in particular will go down in history as I think one of the all-time greatest,
blocking this intersection,
you know, saddest dance songs ever made, you know, Dancing on My Own, which is, it's timeless. That is a timeless piece of music. When you think about that song, and you think about what it's done for you, and you think about the way it connects to people, there must be a huge sense of pride attached to that record.
It makes me happy that people like it. It's gotten so much love over the years in different kind of periods, in different ways.
And it's a cult record too. It's one of those records which was a hit, but it actually is on what I would consider somewhat of a cultish journey, where it just keeps finding more and more people as it goes.
I'm just super happy that I get to do this, and that sometimes I write something that other people like, and then you never know if it's going to work or not. But
did you know that at the time with the melody? Because it's such a yearning melody, and I always think you must be present enough to know that you've captured something that's very yearning in that song, and yearning is what songwriters look for, I think.
Right. No, I did feel that there was something about it when I wrote that song. And it also came out, so, like, in one piece, and that's always a good thing when that happens. And I can't believe still that no one's written a song called Dancing on My Own before. I mean, when I thought about that, I remember that moment. I was like, you know, dancing with tears in my eyes, and there's like plenty of those. But then I was like, nope. Has nobody really written a song called Dancing on My Own? And I had to Google it.
Did
and
you,
I was like,
I was gonna say, did you search engine
like,
it up?
Oh my god, no one's written this. It's insane, you know? Like, because everything's done and you have good ideas, but then you realize someone else had them before you, you know? But
hey, man, we're going back around again on everything, so it's just a matter of time before someone has a pop at that song title again. I mean, Calvin Harris has just released a song called How Deep Is Your Love, so I don't think anything at this
right.
point is...
Can't do anything new, I think, anymore.
Oh, no! Is that how we're going to end it? We can't end it like that. This has been really pleasant. It just ends in this huge, like, grenade explosion of, like... Yeah, you can't do anything new anymore. Good to see you. Thanks
Maybe
a lot.
Maybe it's just I can't. Maybe someone will do something really new within pop music soon. Maybe when AI comes around, that's when it will happen.
Robots. Watching a man fold up his Razor scooter, wearing his Lux jacket, because he's one of those guys that parks other people's cars for a living. But, like, not for any particular parking garage, just whatever weird fucking... I don't know. I gotta go. I'll see you guys. Have a proper...